Welcome to another episode of the Beck Lover Podcast, where you might learn a thing or two about life. The story that seems to be dominating all the headlines is the war between Israel and Palestine. Cousins at war. Today, I'm going to go into this conflict a little bit more. I've already done a couple episodes on this. But the problem here is you really have two cousins going at war. And people go, well, what do you mean? And how are they cousins? And, well, I'm going to cover some of this. People like to use the term anti-Semitic. So if you do anything that's against, you know, Israelis or the Jewish people, if you support anything that's against them, you're considered anti-Semitic. Well, I got a newsflash for you. Palestinians are Semitic also. So many of us really have no idea what we're even talking about when it comes to this conflict. It is so complicated. It is so enriched in history and conflict and a lot of moving pieces and moving parts. And a lot of people are responsible for this disaster. And a lot of us that are not Palestinian, Arab, or Israeli, or Jewish, feel like we're caught in the middle. And it's become very difficult because we see these images online. We see the humanitarian crisis that's unfolding right before our eyes. And we feel helpless. We feel helpless. We feel hurt. People don't know what to say or what to write or what to respond with, because a lot of us have friends on both sides of the conflict. A lot of people have been attacking me in my comments. Even though my videos have gone viral, I want to thank Tyrese Gibson. I want to thank D.L. Hughley, the famous comedian, and so many of you that have once again made my message of unity and peace a viral message once again across the globe. Tyrese even posted two of my videos on his wall. So I want to just give him a thanks for trying to be a positive force during this horrific time. It's just horrific, it's scary, and there's a lot of potential for this thing to get really out of control. Is it a religious war? Many people want to argue with me in the comments that it's not. I will agree that it is an ethnic conflict, but it is definitely steeped in religion. You can't talk about Jerusalem and Israel and the Holy Land without talking about religion. So I don't understand how it's not a big part of this. And yes, I do understand that Palestinians are also Christian and they've experienced a lot of violence and has, you know, in that aspect, the Palestinians don't see it as a religious struggle. The same way the Albanians during the Kosovo War, we were being killed whether we were Christian, Catholic, Orthodox, Jewish, Muslim. When the Serbian military was ethnically cleansing Kosovo, where my family was involved, you know, it wasn't a religious conflict in that aspect. But this is a little bit different, and I'm going to give you my two cents on that in a moment. Will this war spread? I pray to God it does not spread. This has the potential to literally pull in the whole world. So we're going to be seeing some very scary times ahead of us. And the last thing I think any of us want is another global conflict that drags America into it, all these different countries, and chaos, basically. And why didn't the UN just create two states from the get-go? I blame them more than anybody for this horrible situation that doesn't seem to have a way out. And as Israel's preparing for their grand invasion of the Gaza Strip, the humanitarian crisis is building and mounting. There's a siege on the population, electricity, water, food. To me, it's just a disaster waiting to happen. And God knows what's going to happen in this ground invasion, but all I can tell the Israelis is, I know you're mad. I know you lost a lot of people. I know you're sad. You're angry. You have people that are hostages there. Just know that the whole world is watching you. And just because you're more powerful and you have a better military and all that stuff doesn't mean you need to use all your force. It's like if I'm a professional boxer and I'm going to fight some guy in the streets who's not, you know, I have more of the responsibility because I know I can kill this guy. I can destroy him. I'd have to register my hands as deadly weapons. And yes, you have all the weapons, man. I mean, you got them. Yeah, they got rockets. They got some AK-47s. They got some explosives. But you have everything. So just know that people are going to really pay attention to what you do with all this power that you got. And the billions of dollars that we've sent you every year from here in America. So the American people are watching. Is there a way to get peace? I can think of only one solution that maybe could work. I don't know if people will like it. I don't even know if I'm qualified to give you that opinion. When so many world leaders left this on the back burner for 75 years, an entire nation was displaced. So maybe I have the solution. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. Make sure you subscribe. I have interviews with amazing people. I like to talk about current events. You get a little bit of everything here on my podcast. We do live streams. I do a lot of short form content. Check out all my stuff at Beck Lover. That's B like boy, E like Edward, K like Kimberly, becklover.com. We are now on Spotify with video and audio. You can check out these episodes on YouTube or just listen in your car. We do an amazing production here, so you might want to watch because we do pull up a lot of imagery and videos. But thanks for your support. Thanks for subscribing. And thanks for helping us, me and my boy Al, get our message out there. I want to start with Semitic languages. So many times we hear when anyone, you know, does something wrong towards the Jewish people or the Israelis, or if you voice an opinion sometimes that's against their narrative or what they believe, it can be labeled as anti-Semitic. And if you're supporting the Palestinians and their struggle for freedom, you're automatically going to get labeled an anti-Semite. Well, I got a newsflash for so many of you that want to use that terminology for anyone that might be supporting Palestine, although I just want to state for the record, I will never condone war. I will never condone the killing and the targeting of non-combatants, period. People who are not physically trying to fight and kill other people are off the table. I don't care if there's a building with a terrorist in it and there's 100 civilians in there. I do not accept collateral damage, period. And especially if you're the more powerful military, you have better ways to do it. So please, if you're going to go to war, you must avoid killing civilians by all and any means necessary. That goes for both sides. If you can kill unarmed people, women and children, I don't support you. Do I support the Palestinians people a right to have their own state and their own freedom? Absolutely, I do. Do I think we should disband Israel and kick all the Jews out? No, that's not a solution either. Because the world created this mess, and now the world needs to figure it out. But I can't stand watching these two cousins kill each other. And they're cousins. They have so much more in common. The only difference between them, especially Arabs and Israelites, is they don't believe in two other prophets. Period. That's pretty much it. They don't believe in John the Baptist. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. And they don't believe in Muhammad. That's the only difference between a Muslim and a Jew. They both don't eat pork. They both believe in God and Moses and the God of Abraham. And I can go on and on and on. Their language sounds very similar because it is a Semitic language. So, real quick, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. The Semitic languages are a branch of the Afro-Asiatic language family. They include Arabic, Aramaic, Hebrew, and numerous other ancient and modern languages. They are spoken by more than 330 million people across much of West Asia, the Horn of Africa, Malta, West Africa, Chad, and large immigrant and expatriate communities in North America, Europe, and Australasia. What a weird world that is. Australasia. But in any event, Semitic languages, the two biggest spoken are Hebrew and Arabic. Arabic by far is, you know, think about how big the Arab world is, right? That's definitely the larger in use Semitic language. But at the end of the day, if you support the Palestinians' struggle towards their right to self-determination, to have a free and independent country, which I believe should have been created from the get-go, if you were going to house all these refugees from Europe and give them their own country under the flag of the United Nations, and you don't give the people that were living there anything officially on the record, this is the United Nations' fault 100%. There's no one else to really point the finger at here, especially after all the conflicts that they had and then the peace treaties. This should have been dealt with a long time ago, in my opinion. You know, would the Palestinians accept it? I don't know, because in their mind, they probably want all of it back, what it was before World War II. You know, can you blame the Jews that left gas chambers and concentration camps and all this other stuff, and nobody wanted them, and everyone kicked them out? This is why the whole world is guilty here. The whole world, the way they treated the Jews, the way they were treated in Europe, okay? But the Palestinian has the right to say, but we didn't do that to them. So why are they doing this to us? And that's the truth, guys. We can sit here and beat around the bush all you want, but the population before the creation of the State of Israel was 80% more Arab than it is today. They had a lot of battles. I can't get into all the specifics. You guys can go and study this history. The Jews will believe it was justified. The Arabs, other countries got involved. Six-Day War. I mean, it's just on and on. It's been in a state of conflict since its inception. None of them have ever known peace. Whether you're an Israeli or a Palestinian, the time to finish this somehow and come to a solution, where I believe the only way is two states with the holy sites being neutral and governed by the world. Since these are the world religions, they're the holiest places on earth, I think the only way we can have an everlasting peace is to go back to the last, whatever it was, some people say 67, I don't know. I don't claim to be an expert, but whatever's the most fair, partition the country into two, and the holy sites should be no one's. They belong to God. Christian, Jewish, Muslim. The problem is, the Jews believe in the third temple coming back, the Messiah. They didn't accept Christ. The Muslims believe that he was the Messiah. Christians believe that he was the Messiah. I think one day they're going to build their temple there. It's in their books. They want to build it. You know. So to say that this is not a religious war, that's why everybody wants the Temple Mount. People go, no, it's not like, you know, it has nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do with religion. Jews, first of all, identify more with their religion than their nationality. Tell me a time you've ever asked a Jewish person, what are you? And they said to you, well, I'm American. Or, you know, when you ask people, like, where are you from? I tell people, I'm American, but my family's from Albania. Or I'm Albanian-American. I'm Albanian. They'll always say, I'm Jewish. I'm Jewish. All my friends, when I ask them, where are you from? I'm Jewish. I'm like, yeah, but where are you from? You could be from anywhere. Oh, I'm from Russia, or my family's from Czechoslovakia, what used to be Czechoslovakia. My family was from Morocco. 9 out of 10 times when I ask someone of Jewish origin where you're from, they say their religion as their nationality. They're the only people in the world that I know that do this. So to sit here and say that it's not steeped in religion, I think, would be inaccurate. It has everything to do with religion. All the wars that were fought in medieval times and the Crusades and everyone wanting to have control over those holy sites is why this mess exists today too. The back and forth throughout history. The Jews were expelled in ancient times, but the Palestinians also lived there. Philistine, you can look at the maps as far back as 9 CE, 900 years before Christ. So, even more, but I'm saying just on maps I've seen. So to say one or the other belongs there or doesn't belong there, I don't think is the right way to be speaking. And everybody wants to choose a side right now while people are killing each other. And people like us that are in the middle, we got to find a way to bring these cousins back together, because that's exactly what they are. All Christians, Muslims, and Jews believe in Abraham. Peace and blessings be upon him, the father of the prophets, all the prophets that are in the three books, the Bible, the Torah, the book of Moses, the Psalms of David, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was from the lineage of Jacob. and the Arab nation was from the other side of Abraham's two sons. Abraham, peace be upon him, had two sons. I named one of my children after Abraham's son, Isaac and Ishmael. One became the nation of the Israelites, one became the nation of the Arabs. Literally brothers, but I use the word cousin because they're not acting like brothers at all with each other. In any event, it is steeped in religion. These are some of the most holiest places on the face of the planet. Muslims, before they prayed towards Mecca, were commanded by the Prophet Muhammad to pray towards what is known as the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Not the gold dome of the rock. There's another mosque that's rarely shown. And the funny thing is, when you translate Al-Aqsa, which is the name of that holy site, it's built on the Temple Mount where everyone believes Solomon's temple was. The translation of that means the end. Very interesting when you think about it. Many people believe that that mosque will be destroyed and the third temple will rise. I don't know. I guess these are things we can pay attention to in the future. There are differences in opinion. Christians and Muslims both believe in an Antichrist who has to rule from Jerusalem towards the end of time. I mean, this whole thing is steeped in religion, guys. And I'm not here to give a whole lesson on that. I want to find a way to try to bring these two cousins together before we have unprecedented bloodshed, not only in the territories of Israel and Palestine, but maybe globally. If we look at today's headlines reported by The Guardian, Israel-Hamas war. Gaza is running out of water, says the World Health Organization. Israeli intelligence head takes responsibility for Hamas attacks. Gaza's running out of water, says the WHO. The World Health Organization warned Gaza faces an imminent public health crisis as the Palestinian enclave is running out of water. The UN agency said the lives of more than 3,500 patients in 35 hospitals in Gaza are at immediate risk and called for the unobstructed access for humanitarian aid into the enclave. On Sunday, U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said Israeli officials had told him they had turned the water pipe back on in southern Gaza. A Hamas spokesperson denied Israel's claims, saying that the people in Gaza drink unhealthy water, posing a serious health crisis, threatens the lives of the citizens. Jason Lee, the Palestinian director of Save the Children, told BBC earlier today that the aid agency had reports that the water was flowing in parts of southern Gaza again. Now remember, Israel gave a deadline. They created like a buffer zone. Anyone from the north, about 1.1 million people, had less than a day to move south. Okay? De facto, that's ethnic cleansing. You could say whatever you want to say when I say, okay, if you're of this people, you got to move away from this part. That's ethnic cleansing. You know, is it permanent? I don't know. But it is definitely temporary ethnic cleansing. Anyone of Palestinian origin must go below a certain demarcation line. The same thing happened to my people in Kosovo. In 1998, guys, I lost 30 people that I love, cousins, friends from a village called Herec. The Serbian army and police and paramilitary expelled pretty much the entire population of Kosovo before America initiated bombing to end it. We were ethnically cleansed. We were told, get the hell out of here or you're all dead. And they killed a lot of us. They would have killed a lot more of us if we didn't leave. They burned all of our houses to the ground. The videos of what they did to my family are on Instagram. You can scroll down. You'll even see me walking through my aunt's village after the war ended in the summer of 2000. My heart as an Albanian American, as someone who understands and someone that has family that's Jewish and someone that is Muslim in origin and someone that has lost family in an ethnic cleansing in war, killed because of who they are, I understand the Palestinians' struggle for freedom and how they've been treated. And they have been treated poorly. If anyone can't look in the mirror as a American, as a Jewish American, as a Russian, as a Chinese person, as a human being, to deny that these people have not gone through hell in the last 75 years would be very unfair. Period. Does that mean they have the right to do what they did, to go into civilians' homes and target them? But a lot of false reports came out. There was babies killed and this and that. And even the president of our country said it, and then he walked back. I mean, you got to remember, in a time of war, and I saw this, there's a lot of propaganda from both sides. None of us truly know what's happening on the ground except what we can see. And even that needs to be in context. The last thing we should do is add more fuel to the fire if we are not qualified to speak. We do not know what's happening, because we will only make this thing worse. But I think we can all agree, we want a ceasefire. We want this war to end immediately. We don't want buildings being blown up with civilians in them because there's one Hamas guy. There's got to be a way to end this conflict and bring permanent peace to the Middle East so we can all go back there. We can all walk in the footsteps of Christ and Solomon and all these holy places. Biden warns Israel against occupying Gaza as a ground invasion appears near. President Joe Biden warned, this is reported by CNN, Israel against occupying Gaza in one of his most notable public calls for restraint as the Israelis respond to this month's terror attacks by Hamas. In an interview with CBS 60 Minutes, Biden said it would be a big mistake for Israel to occupy Gaza. Israel has been signaling that it is preparing for a ground invasion, even as humanitarian crisis grows inside the coastal Palestinian enclave. What happened in Gaza, in my view, is Hamas, and the extreme elements of Hamas don't represent all the Palestinian people. We have no desire to occupy or reoccupy Gaza. We have no desire to rule over the lives of more than 2 million Palestinians, said Herzog. Herzog is the ambassador to the United States of America. Will Israel listen to the president of the United States of America? I'd hope so. Give him tons of money. I guess we will not know until this conflict is over if the people can return back to northern Gaza. But remember, they're saying they don't want to push them all out. They don't want. Let's see what happens when this conflict hopefully ends, and I hope it ends for the sake of everybody involved as fast as possible. What also hurts me is that the Gaza border remains closed to evacuees. A hopeful crowd gathered at the Palestinian side of the Rafah crossing this morning as it remained uncertain whether or when the only non-Israeli controlled exit out of Gaza would reopen. All sides are denying any ceasefire agreement to allow foreign national Palestinians to evacuate to Egypt and allow much needed aid in. So the border with Palestine on the Egyptian side of the border is closed. To me, this is crazy. To me, regardless of what's going to happen, and I understand how it is to want to stay and not leave your home, and you feel like if you're leaving, you're admitting defeat, and what good's your life? And like, none of us can understand what it's like to feel like that. What it was like to be a Jew thrown out of your house by the Nazis in Germany, or chased out of the Soviet Union. Like, everywhere the Jews lived, they were treated like garbage. That is a fact. That is why it hurts on both sides, because you kind of understand what's happening when two desperate people collide. When two desperate people collide, and again, from the Palestinian side, they're always going to say, like, hey, we were there before 1948. We were the majority. You know, it was called the Palestinian Mandate under the British government, and then they came, and there is plenty of pictures, guys, of the Jews coming off the boats with no clothes on. So, like, we can't deny this, guys. But we also can understand both sides. They both are right in many ways, and they're both wrong in many ways. But Israel's a superpower compared to many of the countries in that region. And to use its full force and to wipe out that population and for them to not have an equal amount of land and to deny that they've had settlers and that they have programs like Birthright, which brings people who have never even been to Israel, don't know nothing about it, a free trip to go and fall in love with the place and maybe move there. I mean, that's the truth. I got plenty of my friends. You guys are probably watching me. I mean, we've made jokes about this. I get a free trip to, I was like, I wish I was Jewish. I get a free trip to Israel. People have never lived there. And it was to increase the population of Jews there. I mean, let's be real. Let's call it for what it is. My job is to be fair. You can hate me for it. You can block me. You can not follow me. But I will never not stop speaking the truth. The truth of the matter is the entire situation was one massive humanitarian, global disaster created by Europe when it went to war like animals. Germans versus France versus England, and they created chaos, and the Jews were rounded up and exterminated and pushed out. And now you send these desperate people who just saw people get put into ovens and shot at, like, go watch Schindler's List. But again, I'm Palestinian. I didn't do this to you. So why are you pushing me out of my land? And where do these people go now? Even if Palestine won, for example, which the odds of them winning militarily are very slim. So what do we do here? How do we, like, end this? What's fair? What I'm worried about is this thing spreading for real. And it has many times. Many times since the inception of Israel, they had to fight their neighbors, Egypt and this one, that one. Even though many of those countries now have changed their tune and recognize Israel's right to exist. But I would say, going back to the whole border, I couldn't imagine, because Kosovo borders Albania. We're the same people divided by a border that the world put on us. We were occupied under the Ottoman Empire, and then we were absorbed into Yugoslavia. The world put this border up to us. And then when the war started in Kosovo between the Albanians and the Serbians, I couldn't imagine what would have happened if our brothers, other Albanians, didn't allow us to come over the border to escape the conflict, to send our women and our children to the other side of the border of Albania and Kosovo. We're the same people. And it boggles my mind that Egyptians are Arab and they won't open the gate to allow women and children to get out. This is crazy to me. And I'm not saying it's the Egyptian people, but the Egyptian government, who's supposed to represent, I'm pretty sure all the Egyptians are like, let our brother, because that's literally their brothers, different tribes, but they're all Arab. I'm sure they see the images and it drives them crazy. But for the Egyptian government to not open that border crossing at Rafah and allow women and children to get out of there, and if any man wants to stay and fight and represent and do what he's got to do, you can't not blame them if they want to do that. It is their homeland. Everyone has a right to self-determination. But to get the women and the children out, Egypt, you won't open your doors? This is crazy to me. That would be like the Albanians from Albania proper not allowing the Albanians from Kosovo to get their women and children out of the conflict. Thank God they didn't do that to us. This conflict has repercussions. And unfortunately, here in the U.S., it came to a head. A Muslim boy killed and a woman wounded in Illinois hate crime motivated by Israel-Hamas war. An Illinois landlord accused of fatally stabbing a 6-year-old Muslim boy and seriously wounding his mother was charged with a hate crime after police and relatives said he singled out the victims because of their faith and as a response to the war between Israel and Hamas. I blame the media for this type of stuff. I blame Hollywood for this type of stuff. I blame the movies that have demonized Middle Eastern, Arab Americans, and Muslims as animals. One of the largest, if not almost the largest faith in the world, with 2 billion people, has been stereotyped in every freaking movie made. And all the propaganda to make them look like animals. And this 6-year-old boy loses his life in America, far, far away from what is going on the other side of the water. And this is the danger of this type of conflict, because it stirs emotions. Instead of people looking at what they have in common, they're looking at what they don't have in common. And they're brewing hatred on it. To kill a 6-year-old kid, man, is, I have no words. May God give strength to his family. We know that Hezbollah has destroyed Israeli surveillance cameras along the Lebanese border as tensions soar. Hezbollah said Monday had started destroying surveillance cameras on many of Israel's army posts. And everyone's on high alert. This could spill over into Lebanon, Iran, Egypt, Israel, and Palestine, obviously. And who knows? This could make people from all over the Arab world want to go and fight there. And the last thing we need is for this thing to spiral out of control for all of our sakes, regardless of where we live. How do we fix this? I don't know. The only idea I have is to go back and split the country directly in half, put the holy sites under the control of the world, like a neutral zone, and both are going to have to give up something here to have peace. The problem is no one wants to make any room or compromise. And again, you get into those old debates of we were here first. No, we were here first. No, it's just a horrible situation. And I don't know a way out. The only thing I can think of, there has to be two states with the religious sites, in my opinion, observed and monitored by the world as a neutral zone. This way, you don't have Israelis going, which, by the way, is very offensive to every Muslim in the world. They seem to do it all the time. Into the Al-Aqsa compound during Ramadan, the holiest time of the year. Plenty of videos on this. Like, these are not things that make you look like you're trying to have peace with the Muslims. Just from a PR perspective. Because every Muslim in the world looks at the Al-Aqsa as one of the most important locations on earth. It's mentioned in the Quran. They used to pray towards it. And you guys go in there all the time and throw bombs and this and that and smoke bombs and beat everyone up. Tons of videos of this stuff. You cannot deny this violence. It's recorded. It's on YouTube. You can investigate it yourself. I feel like an uncle has got to pull two cousins together and say, shame on you, shame on you. One is being more of an aggressor over the last 75 years. So these types of content that we make where we give our opinion is going to make people angry. I don't know how else to be fair to these two sides. Where do you tell them to go? Both have a right to live on this earth. And everyone is guilty here. The whole world is responsible for this situation. And the United Nations is more responsible than anyone else. You allowed the country to form. You recognized it. You never gave the Palestinians an official state from the get-go, which to me shows you never had a good intention with them. You never had a good intention with them. When you were able to give them a state and not them a state at the same time, you never had the intention of giving the Palestinian people a place they could call home permanently that's recognized by the world governments. And I know how that feels as somebody that's from Kosovo. Now, I get backlash from my people. Why do you kind of like take the side of the Palestinians? I don't take the side of anyone. I take the side of what's right morally. I love my Jewish friends. I love my Palestinian friends. No one's going anywhere over there. Both need to find a place to live and coexist. But for me, even though Palestinians didn't officially recognize the place that my family was murdered in, which is Kosovo, and they are aligned with Serbia, and I get backlash from my own people, like, why? Because to deny what they want would be to deny what we wanted, freedom, to be treated as equals. And I will never take the side of violence one way or the other. I want a peaceful resolution for both of these people. And the world needs to step in here. United Nations, you helped create this mess. You should be demanding a ceasefire, send in the world army. You guys know how to go to places when you need something, I'm sure, resources or whatever. Send the world army in now for once and do the right thing. Tell Israel they have to have an automatic ceasefire. Let the United Nations monitor the humanitarian catastrophe that's developing there, because it's their blood that's on your hands. You didn't sort this out when you had the chance in 1948. And that's the truth. The problem here is to put yourself in either side's shoes, you kind of understand both angles of it. But there's never a justification for violence, pushing people out of their homes, bulldozing their houses, resettling people from Europe into... I mean, let's be real. So you got to put yourself in their shoes as an Israeli. And as a Palestinian, they were chased out of the world. They were massacred. They were destroyed. Yes, you allowed them to come in. Yes, you got along until everything started getting out of control. And I just don't know what to tell either of you, except it breaks most of our hearts. We all feel caught in the middle between two cousins that need to learn how to forgive, to find a way to end this once and for all. May God Almighty bring peace to the Middle East, and may we learn how to love, how to have compassion, and how to stand for what's right, even if it means we stand alone. I do support the Palestinians having their own state, recognized by the world. They deserve it just as much as the Jews did in 1948. And I'll end with this. Hamza Yusuf, one of the greatest scholars of our time, he is the founder of the Zaytuna Institute, the first Muslim American college. He was present during the burial of Muhammad Ali, and he's someone that tries to unite people. He doesn't say, give them hell, like Jordan Peterson. Blow them up, you know? Give them hell. He is a pacifist. He is someone who speaks with such wisdom and is so knowledgeable of all faiths and religions. He absolutely is someone that I was looking to just kind of hear, like, what's on his mind. And I'm going to play a soundbite from one of his speeches yesterday, and we'll end it with this episode of the Beck Lover podcast.
So 40 babies got their heads cut off, even though the IDF said we can't confirm that. But it went all over, and everybody was angry. Do you condemn the... I was asked by Jewish friends of mine, and they are friends that I actually care about, and I feel bad for them right now. But I was asked to condemn the killing of babies, and to be honest with you, I felt insulted that I would be asked to condemn something that I would never condone. Who would condone that? The killing of babies. But Palestinian babies have as much worth as Israeli babies, and you cannot say that dropping bombs on people is somehow different. It's just sanitized. It's much easier to do, to push a button to kill people, than to actually have to stab them. It's just a lot easier to do. But the demonization is just, it's just beyond belief. These are human beings. Did they vote for this? Did they vote for these people to come in and do what they did? Did they vote and give them 24 hours to get out? How, and then stop their electricity, stop their water? Whoever kills a soul without any just right, or in sowing corruption in the earth, it's as if they've killed the whole of humanity. The whole of humanity. One soul. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said, for the Kaaba to be destroyed brick by brick is less with God than killing one believer. And think about what would happen if somebody destroyed the Kaaba. What Muslims, what would they do? But they're stones.
The Kaaba is the box in Mecca that every Muslim prays towards. And they go to on their pilgrimage. It's the black house, if you've ever seen it. So he was saying that to kill one innocent person is less of a deed. Like, to kill an innocent person, like blowing up that box, which every Muslim on earth prays towards, they believe it's the first house. That spot is where Abraham, you know, with his sons, built the temple to worship the one God, the one, the God that they're all supposed to be believing in. That to take just one life, innocent life, is as if you killed the whole world. And this is what Islam teaches. This is why I try to tell my Israeli brothers and sisters too, that you blow up a building, but if there's one innocent person in there, there's no such thing as collateral damage when it comes to God. God doesn't care that we can invent all these cool things to kill each other with, because he's got the final count. You know, like when we dropped the A-bomb in Japan, we nuke these people out of existence. There's a lot of civilians there, America. But guess what? God, you know, the guy that I would never have been the guy that flew that plane. Never. I don't care if they would have court-martialed me. I don't give a shit if they would have threw me in jail. I wouldn't want that blood on my hands. Even if there was a lot of bad guys down there, how can you take the life of an innocent person? And that's on both sides. And this is why it is a religious war. It's a lack of religion. You forgot the teachings of Moses to my Jews. And you forgot the teachings of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, you Muslims, when you kill civilians. people that say it's not a religious war, the whole damn thing is a religious war. This is why atheists feel justified. And all we've done as Muslims and Christians and Jews is push people away from God. And the only one winning right now is the devil. This is Beck Lover. I'll see you on the next episode. Pray for peace.